Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Truth, I'll tell you truth. Noble Romans at the convenience store across the street. That's truth. Oh. My home state, they had a whole chain, Noble Romans pizza. No, and a little bite-sized thing, which I shouldn't be doing, I realize. Brian Beebe, who did a podcast, an award-winning podcast at 5 o'clock, by himself, alone, all by himself, like Tom Jones in a booth. But I, of course, invited him in. I have that, you know, warm and loving and welcoming spirit. But hello, Mr. Beebe.
Well, you do, and I don't have to stay.
No, I mean, I like you to stay. I like to stay. I like being around talented people, which
well,
you are.
That's not true.
And you have such a wonderful voice, and you can sing to the heavens and sing like a bell. You're like a male Barbara Streisand. You're like a male Barbara Streisand is what you are. Mike Brockevelt, you can't see him. He's running the control in the dials. He's got a little beard. You know, you could really go out and patrol a Kmart parking lot with a raincoat. You might come up with who knows what. Now, see, I can't joke like that.
Yeah.
We live in a world where you can't make jokes like that because of the environment we're in with men as monster pig perverts. You've been in the music business your whole life. You've dealt with musicians. You've dealt with dirty jokes and misogynist humor your entire life. How do you
people
take
assume
this all
the
in?
Worst, don't they?
They just, do because they do from experience.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Years
ago, if you've been around bands or been around performers, you know that women have a reason to fear the worst.
Well, they used to glorify that kind of behavior. Not anymore. They
on the band bus?
Well, women were proud to tell you they were groupies, and guys in bands were proud to tell you how many they enjoyed, you know?
Just, you know, why can't men get mad cow's disease?
Why?
Because men are pigs.
Okay.
It's an old joke.
No mad cows.
We've had that, you know, we've been around. All right, so we're going to talk to Alex Kaur, it looks like, pretty soon. He's the son of Eva Kaur, who was a famous Holocaust survivor and has a museum in Terre Haute. And Alex went to school with me, but Alex is one who cares deeply about a lot of issues regarding Israel. I know the president today said that they should move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, the historic capital of Israel, away from Tel Aviv, condemned by the Pope, condemned by European leaders as causing potential violence. We will talk about that with Alex. But also this idea that Trump is going to be impeached or be indicted. We're going to talk about this. The call is 210-1667, 210-1667. Do you think they're going to indict President Trump, Brian?
No, the answer is no.
You don't think so?
Oh, Alan, not an indictment.
No? Well, they can't. I mean, they don't really indict presidents. They impeach presidents, right? I mean, Nixon was an unindicted co-conspirator. Unindicted co-conspirator.
Right.
Because they couldn't indict him. They wanted to impeach him. Mm-hmm. The House Judiciary Committee voted on articles of impeachment to be brought against President Nixon. And of course, as you know, he resigned. Now, on the helicopter there with the...
Yep.
Now, here's Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus, worked on the OJ defense. He's a Democrat, dues-paying party member, gave money to Hillary. He thinks you can't get Donald Trump on obstruction of justice for simply doing his job as the commander-in-chief and chief law enforcement officer. Here's Alan Dershowitz.
I think if Congress ever were to charge him with obstruction of justice for exercising his constitutional authority under Article 2, we'd have a constitutional crisis. You cannot charge a president with obstruction of justice for exercising his constitutional power to fire Comey and his constitutional authority to tell the Justice Department who to investigate, who not to investigate. That's what Thomas Jefferson did. That's what Lincoln did. That's what Roosevelt did. We have precedents that clearly establish that. When George Bush the first pardoned Caspar Weinberger in order to end the investigation that would have led to him, nobody suggested obstruction of justice. For obstruction of justice by the president, you need clearly illegal acts. With Nixon, hush money paid, telling people to lie, destroying evidence. Even with Clinton, they said that he tried to influence potential witnesses not to tell the truth. But there's never been a case in history where a president has been charged with obstruction of justice for merely exercising his constitutional authority. That would cause a constitutional crisis in the United States. And I hope Mueller doesn't do that. And Senator Feinstein simply doesn't know what she's talking about.
There's harsh words for fellow Democrat Senator Feinstein of California, even though Alan Dershowitz said Feinstein, which, as we learned in foreign language diction, if it's E-I, it's I, and I-E, it's E, although some people pronounce E-I words as Steen, which we see with Harvey Weinstein spelled Stein.
Aaron Krickstein.
Always,
it's the tennis player.
Always been kind of Steen. A sore point. But Dershowitz made the point that you've got to do a crime, and simply firing somebody for whatever reason is not a crime, and pardoning somebody is not a crime. Whereas Nixon was destroying evidence and telling people to lie and so forth, and telling people not to investigate, as he, well, of course, that's what he says you can do, but Nixon told the CIA to tell the FBI to lay off Watergate. Well, you know. CIA, that's part of the Defense Department, right? But that's what Dershowitz said. My question is, did you obstruct justice if justice is not obstructed? Deputy McCabe said to the Congress after Comey was fired, oh, no, the investigation is ongoing. It is continuing without a hitch. Our agents are working around the clock. Subpoenas went out, so it didn't stop. So then you're saying, well, attempted obstruction. The president, he attempted. Well, did he? Because he said, I hope you lay off Flynn. To Comey. Well, I hope is not you will, right? You will? I mean, first of all, he's not going to be indicted. He would, the worst case, he would be impeached. And he's not going to be impeached until the Democrats take over control of the House, if they do, in 2018. And at that point, if they do impeach, it goes to the Senate, where they have to be a two-thirds vote to convict. So that's a hard deal, isn't it?
No, Clinton was impeached and still served, right?
He didn't. He was acquitted in the Senate.
Yeah.
They couldn't get a simple majority. Yeah, my buddy, I should have told him the other number. Yes, Alex, no one can hear you on the cell phone. I'll call you during the break and we'll get it all set up. I'll text you. This is live radio at its best on Facebook. But I'm on the air. So anyway, we will ask him about the moving of the U.S. Embassy into Jerusalem. Do you have any thoughts on that, by the way?
No.
It's not like moving the Dells over to Montello.
It seems like it would be a big deal to a lot of people.
A lot of tension there. Historic stuff, sacred stuff, really is. George is on the phone. Hello, George.
Hello, Mitch.
Hi, George. How's it going?
Oh, I just hit the jackpot. I get two of my favorite radio personalities at the same time, man.
Hello, George. Go ahead while I text my next guest. Go ahead and talk.
Yeah,
I'm listening to you. You always wonder if we can hear you. You always ask us, can you hear me? You've done that a few hundred times. Well, we always could, is the point.
We can.
Oh, okay, good. I just like to verify, trust but verify.
Yes.
I made a funny to the joke.
Well, not really. No, I'm kidding.
Trust but verify.
Just kidding. Go ahead, George.
Weinstein, you say tomato, I say tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
I think that this Dershowitz has got more brains in his little pinky toe than have other Democrat senators and congressmen in their whole brains.
Well, he understands Article 2. Article 2 says the president has these powers and said that Clinton and Nixon were accused of doing other things outside of that. You couldn't take a bribe. You couldn't ask people to lie. You couldn't do certain things. Trump said, I hope you can go easy on Flynn. That isn't asking him to lie under oath. Right. Go ahead.
He's still keeping hope alive, like his predecessor said, keep hope alive. Now he's not allowed to even keep hope alive.
That's what the doctors did in Palm Springs for Bob Hope toward the end, but I know what you're saying. I want to tell you. It's going to be a little short, about 70 miles. Remember that commercial? He has a little golf ball off the ship. It's going to be a little short, about 70 miles. You know, I don't know why I thought that was funny. Anyway, no, we're talking about serious issues, George.
I know. I wish you could do your stand-up with Brian.
You know what? I look at Brian and I look at you on Facebook and I say, let me put it this way. It's an old joke. Old joke. Anyway.
He's here all week. Try the veal.
Yeah.
President Trump is doing more in this time than the other previous guys in the, not just President Obama, but the rest of them. I mean, this guy is the best thing. Look at the stock market. We're going to hit 25,000. I mean, but they don't want to talk about that.
It's good for your 401, and your 401k is better because of it, right?
Oh,
George,
everything. It's like, yeah, it's like, Mitch, it's like this guy, and he's got gonads hanging on the ground. The other presidents were going to
move there. Well, there's a graphic shot.
And they wouldn't do it because they're pussy.
Don't say the P word on my show. I mean, come on. I will also say, in fairness, George.
I was talking about kitty cats.
What are you, Buddy Hackett, 1966? What is this? I will say that, yeah, Groucho Marx, say the sacred word, and Groucho will take you home. What, my dressing room's not good enough? George, thank you for. But I do think, in fairness, Trump could run naked with satanic symbols on his chest, and you would still love the job he's doing. Is that fair to say?
Oh, he's going to answer my prayer. I haven't got my knees and nailed next to a bed.
We don't want to know about the knees, George. I mean, I understand this, but, again, just it'll be too graphic on the show. Thank you for calling, George. And remember, if you play a sport, as George Connell would say, if you play a sport, go ahead. All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We'll come back. Big news, the president, we keep leaning on the president for conversation. I mean,
that's what everybody wants.
It's not like we're leaning on the manager, the third shift manager at the Quick Trip in Lake Delton, because that wouldn't be as exciting.
No.
That wouldn't draw in as many people. As you can see, we have a couple of million watching now. What?
What's the name of that pizza?
Noble Romans.
Noble Roman pizza? Never heard
I'm
of
not
that.
Happy about that. After making progress before that happened.
Now they got that over there, yeah.
Alex Gore will come up next. He's my old buddy from college. Has a lot of thoughts on the movement of the U.S. Embassy into Jerusalem, the age-old capital of Israel, causing the Pope and others to be nervous. We will come back on the Mitch Hinks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Giarchis.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim Rail knew everything about the area. He knew the schools. He knew what the market was doing and what it trended as far as exactly where we should go in as far as the price to put an offer on and what we should ask for our old house.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would definitely recommend Tim Rail to anyone that was buying or selling a house. We had a great experience, and I think they would too.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Alex Cora, my guest, his mother, very famous in the sense of her being a very outspoken leading figure as a Holocaust survivor and talked about Holocaust remembrance movements around the country, has a museum in Terre Haute, Indiana. And Alex was my classmate at Butler University some 30 years ago. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Mitch, how you doing? How about them Bulldogs?
How about those? He's discussing the Butler Bulldogs, which a lot of you at home, of course, I'm sure you follow every score, every box score for how Butler is doing. Butler, no, it's not a domestic male worker. It's an actual university. But, Alex, I spoke to your mother today, in fact, about a potential podcast coming up with Dr. Bob Enright of the Forgiveness Institute, as your mother amazingly preaches her ability to forgive her Nazi captors, which is truly remarkable. And that's a whole topic of its own. But certainly the movement of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, which a lot of politicians have called for in the past, including Barack Obama and George W. Bush, but they never did it. They always, in fact, Congress passed a law in 1995 calling for this, but presidents always put it off through a waiver. But now Donald Trump wants to do it, and everybody's freaking out. So your thoughts?
Well, you know, Mitch, as your previous guest or caller said, that, you know, Trump's got a lot of guts. I think definitely this move will cause potentially a lot of hostility on the Palestinian border. I think it's going to make Israel very happy. I think it's going to make the vast majority of American Jews very happy. I think that it could cause some political unrest. But I think it takes a lot of guts to do this. And as you said, many presidents have suggested that they would do this, and they never followed through. And here President Trump has put this at the forefront of his agenda. So I think we'll see what happens. But I think I spoke with my dad today. My dad's also a Holocaust survivor, and he was beaming with happiness that in his lifetime, he's 92 years old, as you know, he's very happy that now the capital the embassy is now located in Jerusalem. So,
Or will be soon, yeah. Yeah. You know,
right.
Now, they say the violence could be escalated with the Pope and others, but my question, isn't already bad? Isn't already incendiary? I mean, how palpably worse will this make conditions on the ground? I realize it's further to the east, you know, coming from the Mediterranean, it's further east, although they always call it the West Bank, which always threw me in terms of geography, by the way. But,
you know, recently things in Israel have been pretty calm. My mom was there in October. There were no problems at all. So, it's like any big city. I mean, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, like any big city, things happen. Unfortunately, in Israel, usually it's Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So I think it could intensify things, at least in the short term. And I was surprised what Tillerson, I think, ran into today at NATO after all this happened. So I'm a little surprised that more countries haven't agreed with the move. I think that would be where I would be concerned, that some of these other countries are, even the Pope, are questioning the move. I think that can only lead to more of these, you know, possible skirmishes, if you will.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think security will be very, as you can imagine, very tight, very heavy, and we'll see how this thing unfolds in the next few weeks. But again, I suppose if you want to break the logjam on peace talks, I mean, what do you have to lose? I mean, I know it's always dangerous, but we haven't exactly scored the touchdown yet, have we, Alex?
By no means. I mean, this is, you know, in my lifetime, since I can remember, there have been problems, you know, between the Arab countries, Palestinians, and Israel, and things are no different now. So maybe such a move like this, a drastic move that maybe pushes the envelope, might, you know, help out in the long run. I mean, you talk about forgiveness, and sometimes something like this might really shock some of these countries to say, well, maybe we can forgive and try to make amends. And
frankly, we're closer together in terms of living on top, well, not on top of each other, but in closer proximity than before, right? I mean, just simply as a matter of east and west. I mean, within the small Israeli landmass. I mean,
State of Israel is about as big as Rhode Island.
Yeah. So it does force a peaceful coexistence in a direct way, unless you're going to have just all out violence and all out chaos. Right?
I don't think we'll have all chaos. I do think there'll be some problems here in the next couple, you know, days and weeks, but hopefully I'm wrong. So,
well, Alex, it's good of you to weigh in, and I know that your mother is famous. Your father should be famous. He's adorable and the biggest Purdue fan that ever lived, and, you know, there you have it. That's his only possible drawback, but, hey, at least he fights the good fight.
Yeah, we have a big dilemma next, a week and a half, where Purdue plays Butler, so
that's
going to the game together.
Father versus son in that contest.
Exactly, yes.
Well, you're probably going to have to play tennis and then have all your female groupies watching you volley
no
back and
groupies.
Forth.
No female groupies, but I am going to be playing tennis. Here,
I should point out that Alex is a perfect gentleman. He's not anything like Harvey Weinstein or Al Franken or, for that matter, Senator or Congressman Conyers. I mean, he's always been a gentleman. I know this because I lived in the dorm. I observed him. He always left us alone. No. All right, Alex, take care.
Okay, Mitch.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a good night. Yep.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. That's what I should do is play more tennis. I'd always miss the ball or hit it over the fence. And then John Palace, who's the wonderful tennis player who owns the Palace Tennis Center, said, well, we got a bigger get a bigger fence. I know. So we have the Jerusalem site for the embassy and all the tension. And then we have Trump. Will he be impeached? I tell you what. Trump will not be impeached if the Democrats aren't in control, which they can't be until, I mean, the soonest they could have control of the House would be January of 2019, and then they could vote to impeach him. They had an impeachment vote, by the way. Did you see that? A Democrat in the House had proposed it, and they voted on it, and it was overwhelmingly rejected, which is symbolic, right? So that wouldn't happen until then, and then you'd have to get two-thirds in the Senate for a conviction. What is really strange is this Roy Moore story. I mean, Roy Moore, you know, Alabama, accused of molesting the 14-year-old girl and dating the teenagers. Now the latest was a woman came forward and said she had a consensual dating relationship with Judge Moore when he was 34 as assistant DA at the time, and she was 17, and she said she has proof because he signed her yearbook. And she said, when she saw him say, I didn't know any of the women, she says, I know he's a liar now. So, but I've talked to people who are defending him, saying, hey, there's nothing illegal about dating a 17-year-old. I'm going, well, that's true. But when I was 34, I was not dating 17-year-olds. Again, I don't want to put myself up as the arbiter of truth and morality, as the great paragon of virtue, but at 34, I thought I was doing well if I dated somebody under 40. I mean, forget about 17. Rich Reynolds is coming up at the bottom of the hour. We can open that door, by the way. We can get some air in here. He's running for statewide office. We'll tell you what he's running for. But he's running to eliminate the office. We've had this happen before. But again, running for an office he hopes to eliminate, which I assume he'll take the pay. We'll ask him that. If he wins, will he take the pay? We have that going on. We have, hopefully, Joe Scalise, hopefully Phil Dawson coming up. Phil Dawson, who is an old sports guy we haven't talked to in a while. So much more to discuss. My recipe for the perfect way to shop for Christmas. Even if you don't observe Christmas, you might have to shop for Christmas. We'll talk about that. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top three comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Well, before we get Rich Reynolds in here, we want to welcome John Vaudry, who is a friend of Masoud Akhtar, and they're members of United Against Hate, and there's a big event coming up on Sunday at 1:30 at Monona Terrace as they unite and gather, hopefully, other people to share in their fight against hatred, whether it's against Muslims or gays or lesbians or, frankly, anybody. Right, John?
You're right, Mitch. Our group came together after the election when there was just when I was the United States Attorney, I always said there was hate in the air. People were talking, and we decided it was a good idea to get people together from both sides of the aisle, nonpartisan, and really just unite against the one thing we should all agree on.
Well, and that's true. I think what you had was a lot of backlash in the election, I think, with the evangelical conservative Christian push. And we have this big Supreme Court case now with the baking of the cake and decorating it for the gay wedding. I think you had a lot of conservatives on the right thinking they were being hated.
Right.
Because they weren't able to practice their religion.
Right.
So in other words, a lot of people can have a grievance, you know, and say they're hated, and nobody can accept that as the same, but yet they do. So everybody's welcome, right?
Everybody's welcome. We're expecting hopefully up to 1,000 people. So we got a lot of people are showing interest. And the idea is to come together, and we have two prime speakers, a man named Pardeep Kaleka, a man named Arno Michaelis. Pardeep Kaleka is the son of the murdered president at the Sikh Gurdwara from the murders down in Oak Creek in August 2012.
Yeah, what a tragedy.
And these two guys, the other guy led a very, very violent skinhead group. And he is, if you want to think about it, a recovering hater.
A recovering skinhead. Boy, how about that?
They've come together, and they formed an organization called Serve to Unite, or to Serve and Be United. And they go out and they tell their story, and it's really quite powerful.
What was the scene from To Kill a Mockingbird when there was that racial hatred, and then you could see Gregory Peck just cutting to the onion, and the guy realized what an idiot he was,
right.
And he started to cry.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, it's amazing if someone's exposed to their own hatred and they realize how stupid it is.
You're spot on. I think the message we hope to get out is that if you engage with people, it's hard to hate. If you're looking across the table, and hatred isn't, and bigotry isn't really a lack of intelligence. A lot of intelligent people are that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really
instinctive, right?
Yeah, and it's
learned.
It's fear. It's confusion.
Right,
as Mandela said, you're not born hating somebody of a different skin. You're not born hating somebody of a different religion.
Mandela, who really healed a lot of wounds when he went out and embraced the rugby team. Remember
right.
that?
Oh, yeah.
All like one black player.
Right, right.
And the crowd just relaxed. The stadium just kind of went like that.
You know, and I know we're pressed here a little, but I'll tell you.
That's okay.
You might think, well, what does it matter? Here in Madison, we're all going to be nice to each other. But I want to tell you one quick story. Because what we do, I was doing work for the Department of Justice. I was in Bangkok, and I went in to get actually the suit I'm wearing made, and I handed my business card to they were both Sikh, these two tailors, they were Sikhs, and I handed him my card that said Western District, Wisconsin, and he said, "You're from where the Sikhs were murdered. We want to thank the people of your state for everything they did for our people."
Wow.
And we are in Bangkok in a little tailor shop, and I thought, if you think what we do here doesn't resonate all over the world. It really does.
Sure
so
does,
I'm hoping this event sends that kind of message.
Well, it gets so old. I mean, the hatred. And we saw the hatred in Charlottesville. And I will say, especially when they're shouting on Friday, the Nazis and the Klan, Jews will not replace us, blood and soil, all
right.
that. Sort of by themselves. There wasn't any kind of protest. The next day, there was violent counter-protest.
Right.
And that became the big conflated controversy.
Exactly.
Because the president just saw the video and he saw the confrontation. He really wasn't bringing to the table, you know, decades and centuries of history.
Right. No, you're so right.
He was just seeing it as a fight.
Right.
And I think that's what people, one side of people saw it as a fight, other people saw it as Nazis and the Holocaust and trains to Poland and lynchings over decades. And so that it was a difference in how people saw that.
Right. I mean,
but if you see how the other person saw it, you can say, well, we see this differently and say, this is the way I see it.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, she would say that there's never a reason for violence, right? I mean.
Right. I mean, it does goes back to the point that Pardeep and Arno will make. A former hater, the victim of a murder, the son of a murder victim. If we engage and look each other in the eye and actually speak and build a relationship, you will not see that kind of violent hate. You will disagree, but you will not be disagreeable.
It's healthier when you just have Ohio State hitting Michigan or, you know, the Badgers don't really have a rivalry like Auburn, Alabama.
No, we always beat Minnesota. So it's not much of a rival.
It's like beating the little sisters of the poor. I'm sorry to insult the little sister of the poor. But you know,
right.
they went to the Rose Bowl in 1961, the year of my birth. That was the last time Minnesota went to Pasadena. I mean, we think we have it rough in Wisconsin.
Bobby Bell and Murray Warmath. I mean, I remember. See,
the players?
I'm your vintage.
Oh, my God. Well, you're physiologically younger. I'll tell you that right now.
But it's going to be a great event on Sunday.
Yeah.
We would want everybody to come listen to a very powerful story and then use it to just look across the table at your neighbor.
Yes. And 1:30 on Sunday at the Moon Terrace.
Yep.
United against hate. And I think that's fair to say that against all hate. And that if people feel a grievance, they're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't
no matter what
this is
background.
Hate, whether it's religion based, race based, culture based, just you hate anything. The idea is to come together and talk about this and build relationships.
John Vaudry, we thank you very much for coming in. And boy,
sure.
You've stayed thin. You know, you're my hero, I'll tell you, for many reasons, but we appreciate it very much.
Sure.
And that's true. And all you need is love. And Roger Stone, he thinks hate is more powerful than love. I don't think so.
Right. I'm with you.
But, you know, you just got to have alcohol not be involved as domestic advice. It's kind of all bets are off. Thank you, John.
Thanks,
appreciate
Rich.
It very much.
Thanks so much.
And Rich Reynolds running for office that he wants to eliminate. Come, you're not going to do that, are you, John?
I am not running
for office.
If
you run for an office, you want that office to exist.
Exactly.
This is the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How big or how small a case will you take on?
I've helped all sorts of people over the years, from very small cases up to multi-million dollar cases. We do try to be selective in the cases that we handle as a matter of economics and devoting the proper time that I can to a case. We do advise some people that if their case is small enough, they may be better off handling it themselves. Not everyone needs a lawyer. Sometimes it's not in their best interest to have a lawyer, and I've told many people over the years that your case is of modest enough value that I think you're better off handling this yourself. So it's only when we think we can make a meaningful difference in the outcome for them that we're willing to accept their case.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Rich Reynolds is here. Say hello to Rich. He's got a little, not the Steve Bannon growth.
No.
You got a little longer growth here. I've got growth. I just noticed that in the bathroom. I've got some growth. It's one-day growth.
I really wanted to shave this off. Oh, for me, this is months worth. I mean, it takes a while. And I wanted to shave it off, but I actually had a lady actually right down the block here at the dentist place that's there, Dr. Jay Hazen, for a free plug, I guess. But I went in there, and she's like, hey, you're that guy that's on Channel 57. You do the sports.
Yeah. Yes.
And I said, yes, I am. And she goes, the only reason I knew was because of your goatee. And
well,
so hey. I decided to keep it. Yeah.
It's good PR, good marketing.
There you go. This gray and black goatee.
And is it the Dick Bennett sweater vest? No, you've got a different vest.
No.
But you are here because you're running for Secretary of State.
Go figure.
Against Doug LaFella, and your platform is to eliminate the position.
It's not the, newest idea that is out there.
You're
it's
not the
most novel approach, no. Other people have run on this. One of the things about the Secretary of State position, I think most people don't know exactly in Wisconsin what the Secretary of State does.
Well, they used to do more than they do now, right?
Yeah, and so right now, basically, Doug LaFella has become a public notary. He keeps the giant seal or the great seal. I don't know how giant
the
it is. They actually have like constitutional law how big the seal has to be of state of Wisconsin.
His office and stamp
that's it.
Papers.
Yeah.
What a job.
It's a great job for $69,000 and change is what he ends up making. And
you said you'd take a pay cut if you took that job?
That would be a pay cut for me. My wife is not happy about that fact, so I think she's hoping that I don't win the race.
If you lose, you keep your regular job.
Right, exactly.
Sports on Channel 59, and you do some restaurant work on the side,
I'm a district manager, and then I also I do the other stuff on the side too, like tomorrow you can catch me at the field house.
He gave up his escort service years ago,
right? Yeah.
Age got in the way. No, I'm kidding, Rich.
I wish.
Well, good luck.
Right.
So what did you say about the field house?
So I'll be at the field house tomorrow. I'm doing the public address announcing for the University of Wisconsin. They got a meet against Maryland in wrestling. So
a wrestling meet?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Saturday, you could have caught me at LeBon Arena, women's hockey, top-ranked team. I did the PA for that. So I get around.
So is that paid pretty well?
No.
So now, how did you land those PA jobs? Just call them and say, "Hey, I can do the game." And,
they
said fine.
Or? My first PA work was with the Madison Black Wolf, and that baseball team, when they didn't have radio anymore, they decided to keep me around. I was the radio announcer, and they let me do PA.
So you,
then the Mallards came into town. I started working with them, and one thing led to another.
So you called and said, "Here I am," and they said, "Okay, come on down."
Exactly.
Well, I've often heard those are tough gigs because somebody does it for years. And
that's just it. They never want to get out of there. I mean, Mike Mankey's been doing the Badger stuff for years.
Badger basketball?
Badger basketball and Badger football.
Oh.
I think he's been doing now for 25 years. I think 92 was when he jumped in.
I got to tell you, I think he does a good job. But I went to the Badger game at Indiana this year. And Indiana's driving in the field. And the PA guy is going, "Come on, fans, let's get him." He was like cheering on and egging on the fans.
At an Indiana basketball
Indiana
game. Indiana football. Wow,
Third down, fans, stand up on your feet. I mean, doing that kind of thing during the public address.
At the UW, it's frowned upon to do
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I looked up at the Badger fans, and those guys in red sweaters and gals were not too happy.
Yeah, no, that's definitely frowned upon.
Now, if you get the job of Secretary of State and you defeat Doug LaFella, would you take the salary?
Big if. Oh, absolutely, because I'm going to be doing the work of the people and saving them money. My job is there's a budget of about $600,000 for the Secretary of State office to basically
staff?
Do. Yeah.
Well, what do they do? Just hand them the notary?
And for some reason, they're backed up always for weeks and weeks, and I just don't get it. But, everything has been kind of taken away from the position
you
over the years.
You don't get it. What do they do?
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, that's all they do. They are the public notary of the state of Wisconsin. So documents that need to be filed with the state of Wisconsin to foreign governments.
Somebody has to file
like
the documents.
Yeah, well, and you also have to file something into law. So when, Act 10
so
comes
if you win,
around.
What, are you going to file a document, or are you just going to sit in your chair and do the Rotary
stuff? I got 9 days plus to let it sit around, and then by the 10th day, I got to file it into a file cabinet. You're basically the Secretary of Wisconsin is a secretary.
Rich, when do you want to?
I want to. No,
why do you want to do this?
It's a very libertarian thing to do, I believe, to want to eliminate government waste. And that's $600,000 of me that's wasteful spending. The other way to look at it is...
How are you going to save the money?
Well, to eliminate the position, or what I want to do is to do what other secretaries of state around Wisconsin do. You don't have to look very far to see what they do in Minnesota or Michigan or in Iowa, where they oversee elections. At this point in time, it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission. There's five people. They're appointed. They're not even elected upon, which is a great way to keep third-party candidates out and to set really unrealistic goals that they have to meet to be able to get onto a debate stage or what have you. So there's that that can be done. Also, making sure that businesses are filed correctly and become businesses. You kind of become the business ambassador of the state. Secretaries of state do that in other states. Right now, it's done by the DFI in Wisconsin.
I think I would rather just pour mustard on myself. I hate to be sophomoric here, but I was yearning for a John Belushi moment for the Animal House. I mean, I would, if I did that for a week, I'd be smoking cigarettes and walking the ledge.
Yeah, well, at this point.
Do that for 4 years.
Yeah.
You're going to be drinking Dewars in the back office.
It seems like we're funding Doug LaFollette's retirement plan at this point.
Well, we are. Yeah. They've been for years, and he's kind of a loose relative, from what I understand. He's not one of the immediate descendants, because I'm talking.
He's got the name.
Another LaFollette, but he does have the name, and so he just. It's on the ballot. People just vote for LaFollette.
I'd be willing to change my name from Reynolds to Thompson if that would help. Would that do the trick?
Rich Thompson?
I could claim some kind of loose affiliation, you know?
Tommy, boy, I think you...
I drank at a bar that Ed Thompson was at once. You know, there you go.
Rest his soul.
Yes.
Well, you do sports on your other job. We might as well talk about that while you're here. We have a few more minutes.
You're already done with the Secretary of State.
I mean, I wish you well with it. I mean, I hope you can pull it off. And no offense, Doug, but I mean, come on. I think Doug sat on the Board of Public Lands too.
Yes, that is correct.
Would you do that too? Would you fill into that job?
You know what? If that would help save some money for the taxpayers, and they don't have to foot the bill for somebody else to do that position, then yes.
Well, how would you say you do that for free?
I would. Yeah, I would at that point.
Well, yes. That's where you have these people that donate to the politician who's on the board, whether it's the attorney general or whatever, and then you want them to give you a favor in exchange for the donation. That's
and
how that works.
And I am not for sale. And you know, even looking at that board and what they actually do, I would actually be in favor of giving the public lands back.
Remember when Scott McCallum was the lieutenant governor?
I do.
His 14 years. And one time his job was to eliminate unnecessary and wasteful boards in the state boards that they thought were wasteful. And he was on this commission for like 6 months. And they had their announcement. They would eliminate all these boards. And I went there as a reporter, and I said, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, how many boards are there in Wisconsin? He said, I don't know.
What? And he had 6 months to figure
don't
that out?
Know. He didn't know how many boards there were.
Were they uncountable? It was just not
a
realistic number?
I guess that was
number?
An important stat to remember.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get rid of the wasteful ones.
That's about
I don't think I've ever served on a board in my life.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the thing. I've got to go to a meeting.
It seems like cocktail hour.
Yeah. Everybody's at a meeting. You know, I hated meetings. I always hated meetings.
Yeah.
I have appointments. Appointments are good, but meetings are bad. No, but I hope good luck to you.
Thank you. Yeah. And again, you know, more than anything else and what I'm trying to do, a lot of people ask me this question. They don't even know what a libertarian is, Mitch.
I do. It's a Republican who likes hookers.
Is that what it is? And smoking weed and gay marriage.
Emo Phillips.
Yeah.
Had that joke.
It's a great line.
It really made the late Stu Seffern, who was a libertarian, angry when he heard that. He couldn't take a joke. It's a joke, people.
I could take it. I actually think that's funny.
It's actually pretty close to the truth, I think. Well, you don't want government telling you what to do
correct. When
it comes to your personal effects, right?
Right.
Is that pretty much it?
Prostitution being legal would be something that, you know, would be a very libertarian idea.
Well, we have that in politics as a rule.
Absolutely.
By the way, on that score, how come all the gropers we've seen so far, the gropers and the harassers and the molesters are men?
Yeah, what is that?
I mean, I just, you know, sort of like homicides. I saw a stat once, 85% of homicides are committed by men. I mean, you know, it's kind of
my wife wants to kill me. I don't know if that counts, though.
Well, yeah, but if she does, she'll be in the 15%.
Right.
But, I mean, men don't come off very well in these categories.
Yeah.
Homicide, groping, molesting.
In my younger days, I used to bartend up in the Dells at the Dell Bar. And also at Nig's Bar, and I would like almost simultaneously, alternate days or whatever. I was groped repeatedly by women, and they made no
bones about it.
No bones about it. They had no shame when it came to that. So
well, at 22,
but I never complained.
No, well, no. So you could be a pig as a victim or as a perpetrator,
right?
Now, when I was 22, I had a 35-year-old executive producer who was rubbing my neck in the car right aggressively, and I wasn't real happy about it. She was kind of drunk, but you know, again, I say that. Oh, don't confuse the issue, Mitch. Don't conflate it. Well, you know,
well,
it only takes one, right?
Right, that's right.
And I finally said, "Please quit rubbing my neck," as I had a date with somebody else in the car. Not her. That's beside the point.
What a pickle!
what a pickle indeed. Well, the sports light. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Badgers are playing as we speak.
They are.
Basketball.
Against Temple.
I shouldn't have told you that because, of course, she'll change the channel. hoping win because they've had a tough start, right?
Yeah, they have. A lot of young guys, a lot of turnover on that team right now. I'm actually surprised, you know, when it comes to the basketball team, that they haven't been able to hit those blue-chip recruits. That a lot of basketball programs have. When you put together the back-to-back Final 4 years and you get to a championship game, you would think it would be more of a destination.
Should there be a residual, usually a residual effect.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe they had some people that didn't pan out. They're still waiting for that moment. I know they're waiting on Dimitri Trice to hit his potential. And they're happy with Davison, and certainly King the other night played really well.
Yeah,
King.
Like to see a little more, I think, out of Khalil Iverson.
Khalil, right. But I think some of the frontline people, whether it's Ilikainen or Van Vliet or Charlie Thomas, have just not shown up to the party.
Right, at all.
And that's been a problem.
And it's a lot of pressure on Ethan Happ, absolutely.
210-1667, 210-1667. Rich Reynolds, our guest, who's running for Secretary of State, also does sports on Channel 59.
57.
Why did I say 59? Because
I don't
know. In Indianapolis. And that's not your station.
No.
57. I'm sorry.
No Hines, worries.
Hines 57.
Good way to remember.
Now, football, you have the Badgers playing Miami.
Yeah.
Was it New Year's Eve? Or?
It's, I think, December 30th when the bowl is.
In Miami's stadium.
Yes.
And the last time Wisconsin played Miami, Wisconsin won, right? In one of those other bowls down
there?
Yeah,
I think that game was also in Wisconsin. Florida.
And if I recall, the temperature was like 48. And the Miami players were shivering.
Yeah, it was good Wisconsin
and
weather
Badgers
in Orlando.
The Badgers loved the weather.
Yes.
So it wasn't even a game, if I recall.
I think they're going down there and they're going to win that game. December 30th.
You think so? They match up well?
I think they match up very well against
Miami.
Now,
didn't you think, and I kind of watched, and I was a little, I had to stay awake, frankly, because the Badger game against Ohio State, but they didn't run the ball like Wisconsin normally runs the ball.
At all.
And if Wisconsin can't run the ball, they're not Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, they got outrushed almost 7-1.
And that's not good.
No, that's almost an assured loss.
Because you usually have linemen who look like me, and then you have the fast running backs, and that wasn't happening. George is calling back. Rich Reynolds, our guest. Hello, George.
Hey, Mitch. Hey, Rich.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Channel 57, not 59.
Hey, George.
I'm excited you're running for office. I'll vote for you in a heartbeat, buddy.
Thank you so much. I know you would. You're my number one fan, I think.
And, of course, he's running simply to eliminate the – is he going to go to the legislature for hearings and say, I should be eliminated?
Yeah, at least work with whatever, you know, administration is in there, whether it's Walker or whether it's whoever the Democrats run, or my preference, Phil Anderson for governor. I would like that.
Phil.
So, but yeah, it's about being able to work with people and being able to do something with that position. If it cannot be eliminated, then it needs to grow, and we need to take $600,000 away from the budget from something else. But one way or the other, we're going to save the taxpayers' money.
If it grows, you need the money.
Yeah, but it's got to come off of the books from somewhere else. It has to. And so I would rather that the position grows and we don't inflate our budget 1 cent.
George, did you know we're spending $600,000 on the Secretary of State's office, George?
Well, after Rich told us, I knew.
See, I'm spreading information. I'm spreading something.
You would have no way of knowing before that, would you, George?
No, I wouldn't. But you were mentioning something. But I know a team that got almost 500 yards against the Ohio State Buckeyes, you guys. You want to know who it was?
Big shock, George. You're going to talk about those damn Hawkeyes.
Yes, he is.
Iowa.
487 to be exact.
Iowa, out where the tall corn grows.
Well, I just had to call and say hi to Rich. You guys are two of the best.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, George.
Iowa reminds me of the short story, The Lottery, where people brought a potluck in the tank. Have you read that short story?
Shirley Jackson, yes.
They all brought the potluck, and then they took a number, and whoever drew the number would be stoned to death.
Yep.
Which showed the dark side of people in a small town. I always thought of Iowa like that. You go to a sporting event in Iowa, they're all, oh, hello, welcome to Iowa, good to see you, welcome. You know, but as soon as the game starts, they'll cut your throat out with a boning knife. I'm telling you, Iowa fans are like that. Now, somebody's going to see that, and I'm going to get a nasty, nasty Facebook.
I prefer the Iowa fans to the Ohio State fans.
Well, Ohio State is so inherently arrogant. We are the Ohio State University. The Ohio, you know, there are 12 state universities in Ohio.
But they're the.
But they are the. And then, of course, another pet peeve, and you've probably seen it, when people around here say they're going to go see the Badgers, oh, yeah, who are they playing? They're playing Ohio.
Yeah, I don't get that. The Bobcats?
No, they're playing. It's a sore point. There is an Ohio U.
Yeah.
The Ohio U Bobcats in Athens, Ohio. I say, no, I'm sorry, sir or ma'am. You are seeing Ohio State. And then they look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
Like I'm satanic. Well, the same thing during the NCAA tournament. When somebody says, I have Oklahoma. And I'll say, no, you have Oklahoma State. And they look at me like, what?
Two separate universities, yeah.
Yeah, one is in Stillwater, one is in Norman, one wears orange and white or orange and black, the other wears red and white. Am I right about this?
Yep.
I mean, you don't insult somebody from Oklahoma State by calling them Oklahoma.
Right.
And if you get to be Secretary of State, I hope you make that point.
It'll be first on the agenda. First day in office. That's what's happening.
Maybe I can come to your office and talk about the tournament. Rich Reynolds, running for Secretary of State in Wisconsin. Do you have a website? Or?
Yes, we do. TeamGov.org is where to go to. So TeamGov.org, or you can find me on Facebook as well, Rich Reynolds for Secretary of State.
Good Lord. So TeamGov.org. All right, go to that. We thank Bob Keller for the real estate, the space here in West Wash. He has Tuscan Place, Washington Court, Whitcomb Square, all these great places. Go to KellerApartments.com. That's KellerApartments.com. Mike Brockavel, engineer, we thank you. And now we have the wide world of radio with Bob Abella. Radio shows in the 30s and 40s. Check it out. Mitch Hank on The Mitch Hank Show and MadisonTalks.com.